All right. Now, let's get this, and I'm gonna try to do this. I'm gonna try to do it less than the time he's allotted, and maybe if you have some questions, we can deal with it on this right here. Now, I guess once I lose my role, I have to build it back up. Okay. The last generation. See, in the beginning, when war started in heaven, the devil lied on God. He lied on his character. He said he's a tyrant. You know, he's making us yield to his lordship. We don't have to be yielded to him to do good. We are angels. We can be good on our own. He's only like that because he's trying to control us and have power and over us and limiting our freedom. The same way he makes us feel about surrender. If I surrender this over to somebody else, then I lose. And so he made the angels. He said, we're good. We can be good. I'm not talking about just going out here and sinning. Because if he told the angels that they were just going to outright sin, he couldn't have convinced any of them. He had to have a convincing argument. And our argument is, we can be righteous on our own. Self-righteous. That's his theme. And so, or maybe I put one of these in my pocket. I guess, I hope I haven't messed them up. But I guess it's been working, so I'm going to keep it in my pocket. So he never has answered that. He never revealed the plan of salvation. He already had it in plan. And over time, he's been revealing that thing more and more through his people. Now, the everlasting gospel is simply, if you're going to put it into two words, it's this: Jesus saved. Jesus saves. Now, you can spread on it, but it's Jesus saves. Now, present truth is the specific truth that God wants that generation to know, that lets that generation know what Jesus is doing in heaven to save. And they have to. There may be other things that they didn't know that he's not requiring of them. But present truth, they cannot reject. That's why Abraham could have two wives and still be the father of the faithful. He had more than two. But he was living up to what God required of that generation. And therefore, he was righteous because he was abiding in Christ. Now, truth is progressive. And each generation brings another, And that generation is not only responsible for that truth, but all the other truths that have been revealed. Okay. The last generation will have it all. And they're going to show even the unfallen worlds and the unfallen angels that God is going to totally vindicate God's character. Now, when Satan was kicked out, and the reason why he didn't destroy him, because another angel would have come up with the question again. He had to settle this thing. He knew when he created us that this thing was going to arise. But he wanted to share his life so badly with us. He says, I'll pay the price. Now, this is for the whole universe. We are the stage of the universe. We are the whole universe. The destiny of all the universe is being played out right here. And we are key players. Read Ephesians 4, I believe, 8 through 11, where it says the church of God is going to reveal to the powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdoms of God, which he've had hid from the beginning. Anyway, so the last generation is going to show what God's grace could do. Now, and that last generation is going to perfectly reproduce his character, and we will not fall. Now, before I really didn't understand surrender, and the only other way I knew it, if you don't have surrender really understood, you can go only one or two ways. Really one way, the way of the flesh. Either the flesh is going to obey it and accomplish it through his own efforts, or the flesh is just going to be honest and say, hey, it can never happen. Why even try? One of the two. And before I was on the camp, because I was sincere and I believed the word of God, I said, I have to do this. So I worked hard. But if you're really honest and you really have a relationship with the Lord, you can't keep lying to yourself. And really, if you have a relationship with the Lord, you really see how sinful you really are. And after a while, you know, I'm saying, and plus I'm looking at what's happening, I'm saying, Lord, and feeling discouraged all the time because I couldn't lie to myself. I'm saying, man, and I get up and try harder. And even though I was doing pretty good outwardly, and there would be times when I would feel good about myself, God would have to check me, and I'm so glad he did. And say, Greg, you know what? You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at other people. If you look at me, you're going to see that what you call righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. And he showed me not only my outer behavior, he showed me my spirit and the motive for doing the things I did. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the motives and how selfish and self-righteous and sinful they were, I said, oh, wretched man that I am. Lord. And then I began to almost begrudge God. I say, you know what, Lord? It almost seems unfair. He had a thief on the cross. He sinned all his life. I felt my brother shared this with me. I felt him. I just didn't say it, but I felt him because I felt that way too. He didn't sin all of his life. And in the last breath, he calls out and say, Lord, remember me. And he can be saved. But the last generation can't be saved like that. That's kind of unfair to me. Look like there's a double standard. That thief, he had the easy way out. I got a different standard. I can't go this way or that. I got to be, I'm saying, like, how? Do you have another gospel? And then the Lord showed me this. And that's, you know, as he showed me surrender. It's been a process of time. But he showed me this. The standard for salvation has always been the same. Total surrender. Now that perfect obedience is a result. Oh yeah, when you understand surrender as obedience, yes, it's perfect obedience. And if somebody's close to let you know, surrender is obedience. Keeping the law on your own is not. Surrender is the first step in obedience. Take that first step, and the next one will be easier because it'll be not you, but Christ in you. And if it's not Christ in you, then it's sin. Okay. So, surrender. So, the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember, and surrendered all right then. The Lord said, you're saved. Now, God has to show the unfallen world that's fair. He has to show the unfallen worlds that's fair. Because when he died on the cross, they had no more question about God's goodness. But now, the sinners that you're talking about saving, Lord, we don't want to mess up the neighborhood. And you're about to bring that pollution up here. Now, if you can save them, what right do you have to destroy the devil? Because they're sinning too. That thief on the cross, you're going to save him. And he's a sinner. Just because you say he surrendered. Well, the devil is a sinner. It looks like he's acting like the devil. And how are you fair saving that one and not saving this one? And God is going to show that being connected to him is all that's necessary. For the power of his love is sufficient, even for sinners. He can't just say it. He's got to show it. He has to have witnesses. And all the world is sitting there watching. Are you going to ever have a people, not one or two, a people that will show that your grace is sufficient? Now, if you look at present truth for this generation, it's in the three angels' messages. That's why I know that this is the church. And it says, I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the what kind of gospel? The same gospel that it was for that thief on the cross, the same gospel that it was for the people in Noah's day, which, and by the way, the present truth in Noah's day was get on the ark. Now you can have 2-3 wives, you know, because back then they, you know, but get on the ark. Because this is the way Jesus is saving this present truth for this generation. Now you can reject a whole lot of other things, but this one you can't reject. If you don't get your honey on that ark, you lost. Present truth you can't reject. Or, you know, I don't say reject. Yeah, you can't reject it. Now, God doesn't impose other truths that he hasn't made available in past generations, and he hasn't made it, you know, a present truth for this generation. It's still truth, but he hasn't required it because this thing is progressive. Now, the last generation, we have all of it. It's put together. We, you know, we have it all. Now, here's the everlasting gospel. Now, the everlasting gospel of Jesus saved, and present truth is going to tell you just what Jesus is doing to save. And it says, having the everlasting gospel to preach into every nation, kindred, tongue. So that, you know, that's last day message. Because the Lord says, when this gospel shall have gone to all the world, then shall the end come. And many times we mistake that and say, that means that we got to finish this work to make the Lord come. No, he's going to finish it. If we get right with him, he's going to get it out into all the world. That'll happen like this. So he's not waiting for that. He's waiting for us. Then he's going to do it. Anyway, so it says, I saw them flying with this message everywhere. Say, here's the gospel. For this day, it's I call it today's gospel. When I get back, we're going to have a revival meeting, and this is one of the ones, and it's called today's gospel. Now, my members pretty, but yeah, it's good to keep on anyway. Today's gospel. It's the gospel fit for this time. I don't have time to get into how fit it is, but here's what it says. Saying, fear God and give glory to him. Ooh, just that right there. That's another whole situation. Why? For the hour of his what? It's going to come in the end. It's going to come pretty soon. It's come right now. Now, a lot of times the way we have presented this thing in the past traditionally, I'm not talking about inspired prophet, I'm talking about some of the leaders. And the way I heard it when I was a young boy, because I'm fourth generation. As you heard me say, my grandchild, I said, that's sixth generation. I said, God, you've blessed us for six generations. I wasn't talking about six generations of life. I'm talking about six generations of Adventism. My great-grandmother heard Ellen White. My grandfather was an Adventist preacher, and he had to leave after a while because of family issues. My mother, strong in the Lord, and really blessed me to have and passed on something. Then me, I'm the fourth. Then my son that was standing, he's the fifth. I have three sons, and he's the fifth. And then my little granddaughter, that's the sixth generation. Oh, that's not my only one. I have seven grand. I have seven grandchildren. Anyway, so we have, and I said, well, let me get back on. So this last generation has it says, fear God and give glory to him for the hour is come. Now I was saying when I heard this thing when I came up and you know. Especially in Afro-American evangelism, they call it the sawdust trail. Tent meetings, and they would have the floor made out of sawdust, you know, so you wouldn't have you mess up your heels, you know, for the ladies, you know. So they call it the sawdust trail. I can remember as a kid, I'd have to go to all of them every year. We'd sit up in the meetings, and when they call them tent efforts, that's what they were, efforts. They used to be 9 weeks long. Nightly. You nigga to be there nightly, children and all. But, you know, we'd have fun. We'd play with the other kids, and, you know, sometimes we'd be looking forward to it. Because it was a different atmosphere back then, back in the day. But anyway. And they would preach. Hearts going over the books. It's in judgment right now. When it comes to your name, you better make sure you're right. If you're in sin when it comes to your name, woe be unto you. I remember the first time I went to see a movie. Of course, nowadays, you can go to a movie, ain't no thing. I still don't go, but I ain't getting into that. There's a whole other reason. I think there's a balance we need to have, and we go this way and that way. So, don't hear me condemning them. But back then, Adventists didn't go to the movies. No. And I remember the first time when I was on my way sneaking out, there's things I wanted to try. I went out there. I went way out there. Anyway, the first time. I went to the movies. I remember what it was. Goldfinger. Da da da. Goldfinger. When I went up there and I sat up in there, I was scared to death. I said, Lord, please don't come to my name. Please don't come to my name. Please don't come to my name. After a while, I got so caught up, I forgot all about coming to my name. I said, oh, wow, wow. By the time I left out of there, I wasn't afraid no more. I said, I'm going to try that again. That's another whole story. But I'm saying that's the mindset of the day. It wasn't this good news. It was like a fear kind of thing. And as many people, you could fear into righteousness. You know, because you got to baptize so many in them 9. Then it got to 6 weeks. Then it went to 3. I'm down to doing 1 week and praying we can hold on for that long. But anyway, you know, you walked around in fear. It wasn't good news. That's why there's been a movement in the church to say, the forward movement, the other ones, the sanctuary and judgment, because it really has been, and many people have followed that because we've warned people out with the bad news, and it's not been gospel. It hasn't been gospel. The devil is a shrewd rascal. And that's because we really have surrender is the key. Because when you get surrender, it renovates your whole look on all of this stuff. It's not a message. It is the message. And if it doesn't undergird everything you teach, then you're not going to teach it right. Because it has to be in Christ. If it's not in Christ, then I don't care what you say. I don't care how correct it is. It's wrong. So, you know what I mean? But then the Lord began to show me, as I understood surrender, this is good news. This is truly gospel. And now I understand. You know what? You know, and we're the only church that I know of, the only church on the face of the earth that preaches the judgment is going on right now. I don't think you'll hear that in any other church, any other faith. And the devil attacks that message. He attacks the sanctuary message because there's so much power in it. And he attacks it by either saying it's not true or by making us preach it the wrong way. And once I understood what it is truly gospel. Do you know what judgment is? I know you do. I'm just going to say it so I won't, make you embarrass yourself. It is God revealing every secret sin. Every secret sin. But he's not doing it like a miserly bookkeeper trying to get us in wrong. God don't have to do it like that to catch you in wrong. He can just look straight up. Bam, Greg, you're wrong. That attitude you have, you didn't even say a word, but that attitude, that look, that thought, I can blast you. And condemn you to hell. Because the law doesn't give you a second chance. The law just says if you're wrong, you die. Period. Bam. End of discussion. Ain't no growing in Christ. You either do or you die. You can't be under that way. But the Lord says, Greg, remember when you were in the service? And they used to have call inspections. And there would be times that the Inspector General will let you know that he's on the way so you can get yourself together. But God does something better than that. It would be wonderful if the Inspector General said, you know what? Before I come in an official way, I'm going to come and help you and show you everything you got wrong. And all you have to do is agree with me and I'll get you right. So that when I come, you're guaranteed to be ready. If God reveals everything in me that is wrong and I keep saying, yes, Lord, and cooperate with him. He's saying, Greg, preach this message to all the world. Let the world know that I'm coming soon, but before I come, I'm carrying on judgment. That's good news right now because I'm going to show you every secret sin, not to condemn you because I'm still pleading your case before the Father. And if you just say yes, I will forgive and cleanse you. And when I got your yes on everything, I'm going to seal it. And you won't move from that point on. Now, will I feel like I ain't going to fall? No, because I still will know. I still will know the capacity of my flesh. I won't be falling to it, but I, you know, you may not, but you see, you know what's in you. And you don't, you don't say, oh, I've arrived. Because you say, you know, I hate the fact that it's in me. I want to be whole, as holy as God is, but this flesh is a mess. Have to be keep on crucifying it. But I'm not falling to it because God has sealed me. And the Lord's going to say, these are they. That's why I can save that thief on the cross. He did what they're doing. And had he been living in this time, this is how he'd be. I'm just and true in all my ways. We have taken this thing and we've taken the quotes and misquoted them and taken them out of context. And we've made this thing a work that is so impossible for us to do. And therefore, those who are honest get discouraged. Those who will lie to themselves become hypocrites. And say, I'm living it. Why can't you? And even leave the church because the church is not righteous enough. And say, in essence, what they're saying is, I'm reaching an increase with goods, and y'all are not holy enough for me, so I have to separate myself so I can keep my garments of righteousness pure. But in Christ, I don't have to worry about it. I can be salt. Do you know what salt does? Salt can mix into corruption. And the corruption doesn't change the salt. The salt changes the corruption. And the Lord says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor by so busy running from sin to protect its righteousness, it's only good to be thrown away. Because salt was meant to mix and change the corruption. Go ye into all the world. Rise and shine. Darkness covers the earth. Gross darkness to people, but that's the time for you to get out there and shine in the midst of darkness. And where you go, the darkness will brighten up because of your presence. But self-righteousness doesn't have that kind of power. Self-righteousness has to put up all kinds of barriers between them and what we consider to be sin so that we can make sure that we stay righteous. And the more we work, the more we go into sin. I know that this church is full of faults, but I'm not going anywhere because I'm trusting Jesus to straighten it out. In the meantime, I'm trusting him to straighten me out because I ain't all that myself. I'm not rich and increased with goods. You see, I have admitted that I'm Laodicea, and I'm taking the medication. And if you see any goodness in me, I don't trip out on it. I say the reason you see it is because I'm on medication, and if I ever get off, I'm in trouble. You need to take some too. Because the Lord says, here's your medication. I prescribed you. You say that you're rich and increased with goods. See, you're in spiritual Babylon. You don't know. You're confused about your spiritual condition. The other ones, you're calling them Babylon. They may be confused about some teachings, but I have some sheep over there that have the right relationship. They're not confused about that. And it won't take me but that long to straighten them out. The moment I tell them that day is wrong, they don't have to worry about working out their character and relationship because they've been working on that with me where they are. I can get them right. But when you think you all that and I have to change your character, you've just been right in doctrine, but you ain't right in your walk, then it's going to take me a while to deal with character. I can't change that like that. And that's why the message to the Laodicean, it's a call to come. It's the same call to the world. He says, come out of Babylon because you're in confusion in your doctrinal thing. In his church, where you're in the right church, he says, let the Babylon come out of you. Same call. He's getting his church ready. He's calling those that are out there into the right fold. He's calling those that are in the right fold that are there. Because sin, you know what sinners say? I'm good. I don't need Jesus. And we can say that in a spiritual way. I'm all right just like I am. I'm living Jesus. You need Jesus. And so, the last generation with the message of judgment, here's how it works in my life. As I begin to understand this thing, I say in the Lord, I awaken every day. And I'm going to share in the last the steps I take. I cooperate with the message of judgment. I say, Lord, after I do, say I come to judge, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And I go over at least the 24 hours. I'll start there. And I say, Lord, yesterday, how did I do? Speak to me. And I listen. Of course, the Lord spoke to me during the day, but I want to make sure. And when I first started this thing, man, at first I didn't hear a lot, but then I started hearing more. And then the Lord started taking me. He took me past 24 hours. He started showing me stuff way back. Stuff that I was locked into some stuff that I'm not going to tell you. Because certain things between you and Jesus. But it was stuff that was bothering me, even in my ministry. And I'm saying, Lord, I haven't fallen, but I'm always I'm on a tight rope. What is it? And the Lord took me way back and began to show me some stuff that had nothing to do with that. That was just a symptom. And I'm fighting that thing, trying to get overcome it. And the Lord said, I'm not that concerned about that. I got to get down here to this root that seems disconnected to that, but this is an outflow of that. See, we try to rush God in it, and there's certain things that the saints say, well, you need to get your die together, and you need to, and I'm not against it, trust me, because my thing is, when you're with the Lord, you want to be all that he wants you to be. You want to be, like they said, the best you can be in God's army. So I want all that, but I have to go at God's face, and he says, Greg, I'm going to get to that, but that's your ego. You want to look good to your brothers and sisters right now, but I'm dealing with some real serious stuff. I'm trying to get to that right there because I'm not interested in the limbs. I want to get to the root. When I get to the root, that'll fall off. But you'll never get there on your own. Because this stuff is deep. Amen. And I'm not knocking, trust me, I'm not knocking psychiatrists. I'm not knocking that. Especially ones that will lead you to Jesus. But here's what I am saying. Once man shows me my problem, man can't give me power to do anything about it. And there's certain things you're not going to fix about your character. You can't fix it because a leopard can't change its spots. If you can fix it, then you don't have sinful nature. And if you don't have sinful nature, God is a lie. And if God is a lie, we might as well close the church doors going out there and shake a tail feather. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die. Ain't no hope because there ain't no Jesus. But if he's true, and he is, then our only hope is Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises, he said, Greg, I'm going to show you everything about you that's hindering you from glorifying my name. You're not going to get victory over it right away because it's a process. But all I need is your yes on it. And I'm going to dig deep. And when I get to the root, I'm going to go. And when I get all of it, and he knows how, and he knows when, and he knows his business, I just focus on one thing. And your pastor said it very clearly. And when he was asked it very difficult, and I love the way he had it. He said, I'm not getting into the debate of whether I can say this. If you can stay abiding in Christ, and if you abide in Christ, you're going to be what you need to be when you need to be it. Amen. And it's going to glorify God because you didn't do it. You're not going to be able to claim one thread of that weave of that holy righteous robe you're going to get. All of it is Jesus. He did it all. All I did is surrender. All I did is said yes. Yes. So this good news is that Jesus wants to show you some things about you, deep stuff. And while he's doing it, if you just say yes, there is no condemnation. Sometimes he's going to reveal it through some trials. And you're going to fall. But if you're in Christ, it won't be the kind of falling that's going to bring shame and reproach on you or his name. Now, sometimes he has to do that because he's determined to save us and we're not listening. And he spoke softly where he could show us in the privacy of our walk. We didn't hear it. Then he just speaks a little louder. See, whenever I see a brother or sister, especially within the ministry, and I'm not knocking because I'm just like I'm probably weaker than most. And I live under that glass thing just like, and tomorrow I could be one. But I trust God to keep me. But I know this, because I've been there, done. I know how God operates. When you listening to God, and you know when you're not listening, when you're seeking God, it's no such thing as I don't know. When you're dealing with God, that law will guarantee that you be where God wants you to be. And if you stay in him, there will be no condemnation because God will show you and he'll make it clear to you just what he wants of you. And if you say yes, he's going to give you power to do it. Amen. Now, when I fall, it's because he revealed it to me and I chose my sin more. But God doesn't give up. David did that. And God kept. So David got a little further, a little further, a little further. But God knew David's heart. And he wasn't doing it consciously in a sense, meaning he didn't know that he was turning away from God and not surrendering. He just saw it as, this is what kings do. And, you know, I'm going, but God was speaking, but he had to, sin is deceptive, how I can say it. Sin is deceptive, so you deceive yourself, and you make yourself, but God knew his heart, and he says, okay, David, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me, David. David took another step. Lord, you're not hearing me, David. Now, before he lets you just be totally lost, he says, I got to scream at you. And it's got to be public now. It's going to be public embarrassment, and in shame, and all of that. Pow! And then the prophet comes along and says, David, you're the man. And David says, you know what? You're right. Lord, purge me with hyssop. Wash me. Do whatever you have to do, but just don't take your spirit away from me. And I will be careful to tell others your goodness. So I said, okay. He's a merciful, loving God. And if we just give him a chance, he will save us. He will save us. All this hard stuff we make it, you know, and we want to make it hard. Some of us want to make it hard because the harder we make it, the more righteous we are when we do it. But it's good news, folk. Jesus saves. And he will save you, and he will save this last generation. He's going to take us out. The same requirement, just surrender. Only to those that are surrendering the last generation, I'm going to do a work that was never done before. Read Spirit of Prophecy. Say, this is a special work. This special work. God's going to perform. Now, He's got it all together, and he's going to do what he never did. If he had done it before, but they weren't ready, but he didn't require it. He said, I'm going to give it. But they did the same thing, and this is what surrender will do. This is what would happen to the thief on the cross if he were living in this day. All those that I've saved because of surrender, here is the end result. These are they. These are my trophies, my first fruits, and to vindicate the character of God. Do you want to be a part of that number? I do. Now, I don't know, should we end it now or should we kind of open it up to? Okay. Okay. All right. The boss says we can do it for a while. Let it keep us on track. Keep us on track, Pastor. Are there any questions or comments? I know it's a little hesitancy at first because we don't want to look like we're not, you know, we're not. Yeah. But I guarantee you, if you're bold enough to ask the question, somebody's going to say, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. There's silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Go ahead. Here's a brave soul right here. And she's going to bless. She's going to bless us. She might just, I don't know. She might have a comment. I don't know. Whatever.
I have a comment that Jesus just recently revealed to me. And that was in the Beatitudes,
okay.
How Jesus came, and when he spoke from the first sermon, mm-hmm. and the multitude expected him to say, I'm going to be your king.
Yes.
And what he started out with was, blessed are the poor in spirit. Yes. And the Lord...
Well, they shall see God.
Yeah. That's right. But it was like... The interpretation of poor is not even having two mites to rub together, mm-hmm.
nothing.
And that's the spirit we need to be in.
Yeah.
And then you take the rest of the Beatitudes, and it's the whole Christian walk. It's clear to sanctification.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
That's right.
Appreciate that.
Resting in the Lord, and that's Sabbath. Okay. Anyone else?
Do you eat fish or chicken?
Jesus ain't fish.
I don't, but that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Here's what I do. Here's what I do. I give God control of my appetite every day. I don't try to decide by law what's right or what's wrong. I say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I surrender my appetite to you. All that I eat, all that I drink, all that I do, I want to do it to your glory.
Amen.
Now, if you leave it to me, I'm going to eat to the dictates of my flesh. Now, after I do that, then I rest and I eat what comes naturally. And I've been on a process of, you know, I eat and I used to eat plenty of meat. And when I ate it, I didn't feel condemned. But God led me. He began to, you know, lead me to vegetarianism in 1973. And he did it in a way that it wasn't about teaching. He put me with a family that was loving and kind, and they were vegetarians. And we would eat over their house every Sabbath. And I said, man, this is some good stuff. I could live like this. And, you know, the Lord just impressed me to go into that. And I went there. And then one day, and I still do it. And God has taken me even further. But it comes as the Spirit of God convicts me. I just surrender it to Jesus. And Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, just leads me where he wants me to be. And so that's why I kind of smile at that. It does, because if you judge your eating by me, then I become God. It's not about the, and if you just judge it by only the right and the wrong. Let me even put it like this. If you just take, and I did this before, because I'm good kind, I'm all or nothing. When I was out there in sin, I went all out. I didn't test it to see what the water felt like. I just jumped in, bam. And so I said, when I go with God, I'm going to him like that. So it's all. I don't play with this thing. I didn't play with it out there, and I'm not going to play with God. So when I read something, I said, I'm doing it. And I wore myself out, my family out, and everybody around me in righteousness. And I said, Lord, something's got to be wrong with this. And the Lord said, I'm not in it. Then when God started dealing with me if you read my first book, in 94, God led me to veganism. And I jumped into it, and the Lord was in it. And then I got self-righteous again. And the Lord had to back me out of it. And now he's getting me back on it in a slow way, but it's balanced. It's balanced. That's what he's doing. That's why I hesitate, because people start looking at me or whatever, really, it's all, whatever diet you need to be on, Jesus will lead you to it. Amen. If you get serious about giving him control of your life, God will lead you to where he wants you to be. And if you run ahead of him, it's not righteous. If you lag, if you don't follow with it, and you make up in your mind, I will never stop him. I'm always, because ain't nothing wrong with it. You're not going to follow him either. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Amen. And so my thing is to abide in Christ, because sin is not abiding in Christ. I don't care what you eat or what you don't eat. If you're not abiding in Christ, it's sin. And if you're abiding in Christ, God will get you to eating the way he wants you to eat when he wants to get you there. So it's not about what you don't eat or what you do eat. It's about who you're surrendering to. That's what it's about. And if you're not giving him control of your diet, then you're in sin. Now, I say that again, and that means a lot of us sitting up in here are in sin, because we've been controlling it by the rules or by the way we feel. But we have not yet given it to Jesus, and we do it every day, saying, Lord, all that I eat, all that I drink, all that I do, and then I rest, and I eat what comes naturally. And I go day by day, for as your days are, so shall your strength be. And so I will never, like Paul, say, oh, Lord, if he brings a sheep down, he says, eat. No, Lord, I ain't going to eat that, because that's not a good. He said, don't call. And I know that had nothing to do with diet, but the principle is still the same. If God says do it, you do it. Now, if God doesn't want us to eat that way, and if God wants us to get on that veganism, he'll get you there. I'll tell you what, that's where he's leading me. And I can't be your God and don't want to be. Because you know what? I'm not going to let you sit in judgment over me and tell me what to eat. Back up off of it. You don't hold the ground. Take your shoes off. And then don't walk there because your feet stink. Let Jesus do it. Let Jesus do the job. Amen. And rest. I enjoy my walk with God. I do what I want, but I make sure that I get in Christ, and God works in me both to will and to do. And he's bringing me, and I know it's God, because you know what? Greg doesn't think like that. I'm a ferocious meat eater by nature. Ask my mother. You know, she said, that boy, if you didn't put meat on my plate, it wasn't worth eating. The other stuff was just decoration for the meat. Seriously. And so, and for God to be, and then I'm going to tell you something else. I am a sugarholic. I am a sugarholic. And I don't need people standing over top of me inspecting my food, what I eat.
Well, you know what the spirit of prophecy say about that sugar, brother.
Do you have any power to stop me? Then don't judge me. If you want to, if you pray for me and then show me Jesus, then I might say, let me check him out. And I can give him control. I don't have to stop it. I just surrender it. I'm going to say that again. I don't have to stop it. I have to surrender it. Then I rest. And Jesus is dealing with me. And I know it's Jesus. Because I'm a sugarholic, And God has gotten me back to it, because he had to back me off an outside taking the credit. I sit there. I wouldn't say it too much, but I'd be judging folk left and right. Look at what they eat. I don't do that. And I was setting myself up for hell. And God had to check me, and I thank him for it. He had to knock me down and humble me, and I lost, and I'm start. Then I started eating a little. Then I just went crazy. And the Lord said, now, Greg, now let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. And you can ask my wife. It hasn't been here just here recently. And just I woke up one morning, and it was just on me. Ask her. I mean, because you know, I was eating it, going, yeah. I mean, and the Lord just impressed me. And someday I said, you know what? I start off, just awakening something. You need to go on a fast, Gregory, because you're out of control. And I said, well, you know, Lord, what kind of fast? Because I'm going to tell you, when people get up in the church and they say, we're going to fast for a week. I say, you're going to fast for a week. I don't fast until the Lord tell me to fast. You ain't going to get me in that trap. We're going to fast. That's what they do before every meeting. We're going to fast, and they tell you you're going to stop this and that, and then you can't wait for that effort to be over so you can hurry up and get back to business as usual. You know, be relaxed. So when people say, you know, but I the Lord and President Greg, you know, you need to go on a fast. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to stop it. They said, no, not that kind of fast. I was talking about, because I was going to stop eating everything, just drink some water. And stuff. I said, no, I did that before. I've done that before, Lord. But he said, no. He said, here's what I want you to do. And then stop. And it's still not, just not sugar. It's not. But what he said was, I'm going to start off not eating desserts. And that shook me for a minute, because I am a sweetaholic. If I'm going through something, things are bad, all I had to do is give me a nice little bowl of ice cream or something, and it's well with my soul. At least for a little while. At least for a little while. I understand that, sis, but I said it was all right for my... See, that don't help me when I'm going through something. All them, those were just words. I need power. Amen. I don't need information. Because information, all that does is make me feel bad. I'm still going to do it.
More, worse.
That's right. I need a savior. I don't need facts. I need the truth. And then that doesn't mean I'm going to stop it right then. That's what's hard for us. Because we say righteousness by faith, but we're always looking for righteousness by sight. Mm-hmm. If I don't see the victory, I don't believe it.
That's right.
The just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I feel like I have it already because I got Jesus. I can see the victory even though I'm still in it, but I know that if God wants me, I'm there. Because I believe for faith without it, it's impossible to please him even if you're doing it. For faith believes that he is, not you, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek to do the right thing. Is that what it says? Because we believe that he's our only hope. That's what faith is. I believe that Jesus is the answer. He's my all in all. Whatever it is that I need, he is. Now that takes it further than most of us want to go. That sounds good when we just preach it. But when we have to put it in our practical existence, for instance, when you're single and you want a mate and it says, he is. Oh. Because my flesh says, I long for some companionship. God understands that. He's the one that made us the way we are. But he says, in me dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in me you can be complete, but you have to trust that here. And then we can realize, here's my thing, you're really not really ready for marriage until you can be happy by yourself.
That's right, man.
But you know, we tell folk, well, it's not good for man to be alone. And the Bible says that. But we say that from a sinful perspective. In other words, God gave you me to make me happy. That's self-centered. Other-centered, God-like, says, It's not good for you to be alone, because if you're alone, all you do is think about yourself. But if you're with other people, you have to think about them. And the more you think about them, the more you start ministering to them. And the more you minister to them, the more my spirit has to be in you. And the more you get my spirit in you, the happier you'll be, because happiness is being in me. And when you begin to surrender to the Lord, he helps us. Now, I see my boss moving. That means we're on that time. And that's good. I want him to do that, because I will go on and on and on. I need that. So it's time to shut it down.
One more quick question. Anybody got one last question?
There's a hand. And I see her raise her hand first. Let's get her. She did.
I haven't read this myself, but an Adventist friend of mine that I work with told me this, that in the spirit of prophecy, it talks about the last days, which I know that we're in now, but a sure sign of Christ being right around the corner and the close of probation is when people of his church, meaning, I believe, because like I said, I haven't read it myself, mm-hmm. the Seventh-day Adventist church are leaving the church.
I don't know about that.
You don't know anything about that?
No. And it really is not that important to me. I'm not saying that it's not important, but I'm saying if the sure sign that the Lord is coming is something that I don't focus on, because and really what happens is I know the Lord is coming soon because the Spirit is my sign. The way his spirit works in me, what he's doing in my life. But let me just say this much, and I'm going to say it quickly. I don't focus on how soon he's coming or whatever, because I live like he's coming tomorrow every day. That's why the Lord doesn't, and he never told the generation, and Paul's generation, they thought he was coming right away. And he let them think that. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't know if you're going to live past tomorrow. And if you should die, that's his coming. So you can't, you have to, and we act like this, that if I live like he's coming tomorrow, I'm going to lose out. That's a sinful mindset. That says, I have more fun in sin than I do in Christ, and I'm going to have as much fun for as long as I can, and then when I find out he's coming soon, I'll get it right. It doesn't matter how soon. I believe, and the more I get closer to him, the more I feel he's coming soon. What I want is, if heaven, I'm going to put it to you like this. If heaven were never promised to me, I would do what I'm doing right now. Because the joy and the peace and the victory and the power, I'm loving my life.
Amen.
I love it. You can take, you can, the church could stop being, it's never, I don't care. The rules, and I'm going to still do what I do. I'm going to still do what I do. Because there's just something on the inside that causes me to long for more of it. Christ is in me. He's better than any rule. He is the law lived out. And when he lives it in me, then I have his mind. And I long for what I love what he loves. And I grow in that. Because I still, there's still stuff. But what happened, the sin I still love, I hate loving it. I hate loving it. And I say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you give me the victory over this. And the Lord said, I got you, Greg. But I'm working on some other stuff that's deeper. That's going to fall off when I get to this. You just keep on walking with me. You keep on saying yes. I guarantee you, by law, you're going to be saved. Okay.
Amen. Let's close with prayer. Father, once again, we do thank you that we've had this opportunity to reflect upon the good news of the gospel, that it is Christ who works within, both to will and to do, according to your pleasure. And Father, we want to be instruments that you can work in and work through. And we choose you. We give ourselves to you. We have nothing good to bring, but simply to the cross we cling. Do the work, Father, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for this wonderful Sabbath. Thank you for your presence and your spirit. Be with us through this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.